Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that heaven sings and the earth rejoices. May our hearts sing and rejoice this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dan Wakefield died last year. He was 91 years old. He had a long life. He was an American writer of some note and importance in his earlier years. He wrote more than 20 books, five novels. Two of his novels were made into movies. He was a journalist who wrote on current events. He was a screenwriter. Much of his stuff appeared on television. Dan Wakefield had a difficult year, 1980. He was a young man, not far out of an Ivy League college, grew up in Indiana and Indianapolis, but went to New York to college and stayed there to work and should have had a great, easy life, I suppose, but it wasn't great and it wasn't easy. No life is. The woman that he was living with for 7 years, the woman that he thought he was going to be spending the rest of his life with, walked out. He buried his mother, his father in May. He buried his mother in November. Lost his job, lost his house, was flat broke. Nothing else that he knew to do but to try another place. So he moved to Boston. And it's now December of 1980. Finds himself once again in a local bar. I can imagine he's looking into a half-empty glass of beer. And it will not be the first or last glass of beer that will be emptied that night. His life came apart, fell apart. He confesses that at age 25, he was a step away from oblivion. Everything had gone wrong, and he covered up the pain with more alcohol and more drugs, more alcohol and more drugs. Every time the pain came, he went back to what he knew would kill the pain, or at least for a time. So there he is, sitting in a bar. It's December, it's cold, it's near Christmas. Tony walks into the bar. Tony is a regular. Everybody knows Tony. Tony is the local house painter. He paints all those New England houses, those big houses. You can't get up to the top of them very easily, but Tony's got the ladders and the crew. Everybody calls on Tony at some time in their life to paint their house. And Tony sat down, and after a moment or two, Tony said to no one in particular, just to whoever might be there, "I'm looking for a church to go to on Christmas Eve." Dan Wakefield looked at his half-empty glass. A strange thought came to him. A thought he had not had in over 25 years. You know, when a kid goes to college at 18 or whatever, and then you get into a different group of people. He got into the fast group in New York, you know, By fast group, I mean he was in a group where people had these parties, and if you mentioned the name of God more than once, you never got invited back. Dan Wakefield was an atheist. He didn't give a hoot about religion. He left that when he left Hoosierland, where he grew up in a Presbyterian and a Baptist church. That was all behind him, he thought. Until Tony said, "Does anyone have an idea where I could go to church on Christmas Eve?" Dan Wakefield thought, "I want to go to church on Christmas Eve." The thought surprised him. Hadn't set foot in a church in over 25 years, but there he was thinking now, maybe there's something. Maybe there's something that will pull me through, that will pull me out, that will hold me now that I'm almost out of hope and strength and I can't make it on my own. Maybe I should go to church on Christmas Eve. He got to go in the Boston newspaper and he went through the ads and he looked and he looked and he looked for a place that he thought would be non-threatening. He didn't want anybody to try to pull any religious stuff on him. He saw that there was an advertisement of the church that they were just going to sing carols and light candles. And he thought, I'll go there. And he did. And something happened. I don't mean to say that he became a Christian all of a sudden like Paul on the Damascus Road. It wasn't a bright light coming down from heaven that knocked him to the ground. It was a small seed God planted in his heart. A small seed. He didn't go back to church that next Sunday. In fact, he didn't go back to church until Easter. He thought, well, I'll give it another try. And on Easter Sunday, he put on a suit and tie, and he actually kind of shifted through the shadows to try to get to church on Christmas morning. He didn't want any of his friends to recognize him. He didn't want to be seen and known as someone who actually went to church. And then he went again. And he went again. And he began to discover what it means to be in the care and the keeping and the grace and the love of God, who holds us and wants us in love to respond to his love for us. One week night it was raining and he even went to a Bible study. Imagine that. It was raining hard, and guess who? How many people were at the Bible study? There was the seminary intern and there was an old woman. And he was the third, three people on a rainy summer night at a Bible study. And he was delighted. He didn't want to have all these people hearing about him. He didn't want anyone to recognize him. This is just the place he wanted to be. You're with me now, aren't you? You can see that something special is happening in the life of Dan Wakefield. He wrote a book called Returning. It's a story. It's a spiritual pilgrimage. It's a spiritual memoir. Bill Moyers said that it was about the best thing he had ever written, ever read on what it means to have a spiritual journey with God. And then he began to tell his story of what God was doing in his life, he became a Bible leader. And people began to hear of the story, and he went all over the place, all over the world, all over the country, telling people about what happened to him because he went to a church on Christmas Eve and God planted a seed. One of the places he frequented was a maximum security prison on the Hudson River called Sing Sing, where the worst of the worst of the worst are locked away. And Dan Wakefield took his life and his story and his witness and what had happened to him beginning on a Christmas Eve in 1980 to share with those who were at the end of everything, who were going to be in jail for the rest of their days, who had no hope in the world. Dan Wakefield went in with a word of hope. You can read his book. It's readily accessible. Christmas Eve. I don't know. Have you had a hard year? I see some heads shaking. So everything hasn't worked out the way he had wanted it to. Hope it might. It's not over till God says it's over. And God hasn't said it's over for any of us. No, Dan Wakefield was not a perfect person. On two different occasions, he writes about how he fell back into the old way. But both times, he was claimed once again into the way of life, of hope, of the story of what God did in sending this child born in Bethlehem and how that child's life changed the world and changed us, people who take it and receive it, who bear it, and to live it. There's a poem that became a carol, Christmas carol. It goes like this. Love came down at Christmas time. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas time. Star and angels gave the sign. That love knocks tonight on every heart. The world cannot save us. More money cannot save us. Long life cannot save us. Wealth and power cannot save us. It is all a sign that we cannot make our life work on our own. It cannot happen. It cannot work. We're in need of God's touch, God's grace, God's help, God's strength that will take us and never let us go. Love was born at Christmas time, and love seeks to be born in your heart and in mine this Christmas Eve. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the story that heaven and nature sings because of the birth of Christ, and that we can sing too. So we raise our choruses, we raise our voices, we raise our alleluias for this night. We would bear undying witness. Emmanuel is here, dwelling among us. Our burdens can be lifted. We can join in the song of the heavenly host. We can follow the star. We can get up and go and see the Messiah and witness to the Christ who comes to save and whose presence makes the world, makes us new. And so we bow at the manger this Christmas Eve. And we pray for the courage that once we have bowed, that we can get up, that we can go back to our lives with all of the challenges and difficulties and stresses, and we can be a servant to your word and witness. For the sake of your glory, and in the name of Jesus, whose wonders among us never cease, and whose plan for a new heaven and a new earth cannot fail, we bring our prayers. Amen.